on a variety of topics from pop culture to everyday life. I'm Chantel C. You can call me Cece, and I'm joined by my partner in organizing, Denise.
Hello.
Denise. How I miss thee.
Oh.
It was such a beautiful time with you, albeit so brief.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So we...
I missed my segue. Wow.
I got you. That's all right. Obviously, beginning with pop culture, our pop artist delivered this week. Let me tell you. So, you know, I have a birthday coming up and I've felt really compelled to pay a whole lot of money to go see Maxwell, who is in concert with Mary J. Blige. I went to a Maxwell concert about 7 years back. Loved it. It was great. You know, I own every Maxwell album that exists. I'm also a Mary J fan. I've never seen her live. You know, y'all share some dance moves.
That's New York, boo. That's New York.
But then I went and looked at the ticket price and I was like, excuse me, what?
How much?
Like for standing, they were asking £85 one person.
Okay. That's Beyonce money, but okay.
And you know it's not going to be like Beyonce show. So y'all just going to be standing on the stage singing and dancing a little bit.
Yeah, but you know, they'll put you in your feelings though.
They will put me in my feelings.
If you bring your boo and you know, you get dressed up and it's a nice night. You're going to get some that night.
It's definitely going down. But then Mary J. had come out with this clip this week.
Ooh.
And I was like, maybe Mary J.'s not the person I feel like I want to support right now. So she has a show called The 411, which is set to premiere on Apple, of all places.
Okay.
And
you know, Apple like her.
Apple does like her. She was in that commercial. Mm-hmm. That was directed by Ava. Who else was in it? Taraji and Kerry Washington. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they do like her. But the 411 is a little, you know, it's set to debut on September 30th on Apple Music. And I'm not really sure what it is. But I do know that in clips
it's basic people.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
Ahead of that, there was a lot of confusion because she was singing about Burger King chicken strips. But more importantly, she is sitting across from former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. So she's apparently singing lyrics that Bruce Springsteen wrote after the Guinean immigrant Amadou Diallo was killed by the New York Police Department for no reason. Right. I don't even remember how many bullets they put in him. It was so many. But the thing is, it's clearly from a white person's point of view. That's what hurts.
After reaching for his wallet after he was told to show identification. Now, so this is where, boys and girls, we talk about context. Why are you singing? You have such a wealth of Black songwriters that have written about this topic. Why are you singing a song written by Bruce Springsteen from his well-intentioned white male perspective, right? Like,
just keep your hands in the air and nothing will happen to you.
And he's even saying that with irony, but the whole thing is that it's coming from Bruce's perspective and it sounds very different coming out of Mary's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like some old mammified situation. I mean, you have to realize the last time the whole world was looking at Mary singing anything was when she was singing that Burger King commercial.
Oh boy.
About fried chicken. made it sound very tasty, but everybody was like, Mary, no. Mary, don't. So now the next thing you're going to do is to sing a respectability politics statement around police violence to the presumptive, you know, next president of the United States. Like, what? I don't understand what's going through Mary's mind.
Well, she said she was inspired to conduct the interview after meeting Clinton at the Democratic National Convention in July.
Good for her.
So she says she's a singer, and that's the only way she knows to communicate is by singing. She also got crunk because it didn't take long for Twitter to respond to this clip. And, you know, Twitter had mad jokes. And she was like, shut the fuck up. How about that? Hashtag haters. Hashtag crabs in a barrel. And then she went on to make a more, you know, reasoned statement around, you know, why she did what she did. And that the only way she can express herself is through singing and so on and so forth.
Oh, man. Yeah, what are we going to do with her?
The thing is, we can't do anything with her. Mary, don't listen.
I get that. But she got some really edumacated friends.
She looked real edumacated in them glasses, though.
She looked real nice, yeah. I like that blonde wig, too. That was nice.
That was cute. That
was laid, cute. Laid to the gods. Listen, Mary stayed put together. The thing about Mary and a lot of celebrities now that are having to talk about police violence is that this is a burden that is unique to Black people. You know, you have your quarterback, your boy, your pop singers, your all kinds of people that normally would not be having to make political statements. All of a sudden, they have to come out of their shell and make political statements. Mm-hmm. And they're not equipped.
No, they're not equipped. But Mary never really has been equipped. I don't really. That's why I was kind of like, why is it? I mean, it is. It's a hard. It is a cringeworthy clip to watch. She has friends, though. She has like Ava DuVernay who could have just whispered, let me holla at you, MJB. I don't know. But what I'm saying is I don't really know why anyone was surprised. Same with Fantasia this week, you know, now let's be real. Fantasia is an American Idol winner.
Coming from very humble beginnings.
Very humble beginnings. And it really hurts me because I feel like even though really her only audience is Black, we never really have Fantasia's back. We will find every reason to make fun of her, to dog her.
Her reading problems, her literacy issues.
Her relationship issues. Her general
ratchetness.
So, you know, this week, for whatever reason, she put out a flyer for a concert that she was meant to hold in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, anyone who listens to the show, anyone who just, you know, reads the news will be reminded of what is happening currently in Charlotte, North Carolina. And on that flyer, for whatever reason, she called the event Hear Me Now, All Lives Matter. Wow. So the show's lineup also included Anthony Hamilton, Dennis Reed, and John P.
He was quick on the Twitter.
He was like
a faster than a cat boy.
Said the flyer was not approved by me. He did not write this. He had to do the Twitter video. He said the flyer was not approved by me. If you want to know where I stand on this, I just published an article. Go to theroot.com. You can find it. I am a father of six Black boys, Black Lives Matter. Needless to say, the event was postponed, not canceled. Originally, it seemed like it was going to be canceled. It was postponed. Fantasia and her husband
doubled down,
did a video.
And apparently he is a hotep.
He is a hotep. He is a hotep.
He's an all the way hotep.
100%. But who would Fantasia be with other than a hotep? For real now.
A fuckboy?
Oh, yes. But she passed through the fuckboys.
But here's the thing. In some ways, your hotep is worse than your fuckboy. I'd rather, like, if I had to choose between a fuckboy and a hotep, I want me a fuckboy because with a fuckboy, you know what you're getting. You're just real clear. With a hotep, they have this whole veneer of respectability, and it's very confusing for a lot of women. A lot of women be like, no, but I'm a queen, and he believes in polygamy. And next thing you know, you dealing with fuckboy behavior because somebody got an unk, you know? Like, no.
Oh.
Let it go.
Let me read the statement that Fantasia shared. I did not watch the video because also cringeworthy, but I can't read what she thought she was responding to. So, quote, I understand that our people are still in poverty and we're not getting certain things that we deserve. I understand that, but the only way we're going to get it is not through tearing up buildings.
Who the hell is tearing at a building, Fantasia? I really feel like her.
No, wait. I am. It gets better.
Go ahead. Oh, it does not get better. Shut up. Whoa. You lie.
2,000 years ago, Jesus ended the debate on which lives matter. He died for all us.
Christ up there?
Martin Luther King stood for love and unity for all people.
Jesus and MLK?
United we stand. divided we fall. Let's all stand together. So Black Lives Matter. Yes, they do. All lives matter. End quote.
Stay your ass home. Stay your ass home. And I'm surprised that a Hotep is letting her go lead with All Lives Matter. But okay, go ahead.
Hotep said himself, quote, "It's really easy to critique somebody sitting behind your desk or behind your smartphone." I don't know that that's a thing. And you're talking about a word between all and black. It's a word, he says. Black lives matter because all lives matter. End quote. Mm-hmm. He said, "What kind of fly do y'all want? We'll send them out individually."
So let me back up for people that don't really understand what I'm going to get really remedial for a minute.
Okay, do it.
People that don't understand why all lives matter is problematic. All lives matter is problematic because all lives are not being shot dead by the police. Okay, all lives matter
not
is problematic
to the same extent,
because
but, you know,
not in the same way. Mm-hmm. All lives matter because when certain people are attacked and brutalized, they get recompense, they get a justice, they get consequences to those that have done that. When others, specifically Black people in America and all over the world, quite frankly, are brutalized in the same manner by government agents, that brutality goes without any justice, without any consequence for the people that do it. They get paid vacations, they keep their jobs, they get legal defense funds, you know, they get hooked up like Darren Wilson. That's why Black Lives Matter. You know, if you want to give all that kind of attention to all lives right now, then you're missing the point, right? You're missing the point completely. We are focusing on a specific population that is hurting right now. When we have Cancer Awareness Month, it's a shitty thing to do to come in and say, but we need awareness for diabetes too. It's Cancer Awareness Month right now, bitches. Like, focus, okay? Right now, Black Lives Matter is a specific human rights push to deal with the assault on Black lives on many levels, not just the level of police brutality, but environmental racism, economic oppression, all kinds of ways, redlining, mm-hmm. political disenfranchisement, mm-hmm. all these ways in which Black people have been attacked systematically by governments all throughout the world. So that's a problem. That's unique to Black people in this moment in time. That's our movement. Mm-hmm. If you want to say all lives matter, what you are doing is that you are taking away, you are basically deflecting from the issue.
And denying the specificity of the situation mm-hmm. that Black people are facing. Mm-hmm. But when why doesn't Fantasia understand that as a Black woman?
Because that happens a lot when people come into a conversation that has been going on for a while, is they start at point 0.5, right? Like, they start real, real slow. And
Lil Wayne said, you know, how is there racism when mm-hmm. white people be buying my music?
But Lil Wayne is not sober, right? Like, so
Lil Wayne is sober. You know, he's been struggling with himself because of his drug use. So I believe mm-hmm. he actually is pretty sober these days. I mean, does that not speak for the...
Lil Wayne is a dry drunk, okay? Lil Wayne is never sober. He's never sober.
But maybe, you know, maybe that's the belief that if someone listens to so-called Black music, which is not a thing, but let's say, mm-hmm. you know, if someone listens to so-called Black music, then how can they be racist?
Hmm. Or enjoy Black culture, mm-hmm. or date Black people, mm-hmm. I mean, or have Black children, or, you know, any of the above. I mean, this is something that white people have, you know, are more concerned with being called a racist than actually being a racist. So they have been looking for their get out of, you know, kind of like mm-hmm. their anti-racism Patronus, you know, that covers them with the light so that nobody can ever call them racist again. Like, I got a Black wife. Ooh, but wait a second. I have 20 Black employees. Oh, really? Let me tell you this. I was raised by a Black woman. You know? Like, that actually happened. You know, that actually happened. One time I was talking to an older white dude and we were talking about somehow race got in there. And he was like, I just don't understand it. I was raised by a Black woman. And so started talking about a straight up real life mammy because he had some years on me.
Okay.
Right. And I was just like, okay, so you love this woman, right? And he's like, yeah, yeah, I was raised by her, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, what, how many children did she have? Didn't know. I was like, where she live at? Didn't know. Was she married? Didn't know. I was like, is she an only child? Didn't know. What's her parents like? Didn't know. So, you know, there is this relationship that a lot of white people have to Black people as objects that has nothing to do with the Black people. And we as Black people are really clear that in certain relationships, we present somewhat of a mirage or a shell or a mask of whatever needs to happen to make this interaction as smooth as possible. Mm-hmm. But most people aren't even really ready to have those relationships. So that's a segue. But the thing is,
Prince Montana seems to understand the importance of Black Lives Matter. He got crunk, you know. He was coming for the strip club. Now, I know what it's like when you're coming out the strip club. You feeling yourself? Mm. The adrenaline pumping. Probably had a couple lap dances. He's being driven with him and his entourage. And they get stopped by the NYPD, of course, in Queens. And he starts recording immediately. Mm-hmm. All of them are white officers. All of them stay cool. They see that what's going down. They're not letting themselves be provoked. The French think he's doing something by recording and then posting it to Instagram. And just continues to say, you know, Black Lives Matter. Ha ha. What's that? I was like, French, you might want to settle down. That could go ugly any other day of the week. But the officers didn't respond. So surprisingly, fuckboy of the week, French Montana, does know the importance of Black Lives Matter. Maybe he could talk to Fantasia about it.
I would. Maybe Taraji can. You know, well,
Taraji is too busy taking Curtis. What's his? Is his name Jackson? Does he have really that black of a name? Curtis, a.k.a. 50 Cent. She's too busy taking him down three pegs because 50 Cent, who has already come out as opposing the gayness that is presented on Empire, he thought he was going to make fun of them because their ratings were lower on the premiere of third season, lower than it was on the premiere episode of second
season. I'm going to need to cancel 50 Cent.
Well, guess what? Jussie came for him. Jussie Smollett, who, you know, I love. I've mentioned him before. Hi, Jussie. Hi. Jussie came for 50 because anyone who follows Jussie on Instagram knows that he worships the ground that Taraji walks on. And after he saw Taraji go all the way in and get 50 right together for his comments about the viewership, I mean, she had the stats. She was explaining stuff. And she was like, don't forget, we are still the highest rated show on broadcast TV. Mm-hmm. Jussie was like, let me tell you about your 40 plus years and how you need to learn what it is to be a real man. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. He was like, and it wasn't over yet. Vivica 50's at.
Wait a second. So what does he go in on with this whole talk about manhood? Because I'm always really interested in that.
Okay. So he was basically like, first of all, I respect you. I don't know you, but I respect you. I think you're talented. I respect your hustle. And you seem to be a good dad from Instagram. But again, I don't know you. Yes, he was.
He gave him good dad? Did you not know about the 50 dad drama, epic drama?
He might not know about it. Look, okay. He was trying to start on the positive foot. And then he was like, but do you realize that there are sisters and brothers dying every single day at the hands of police officers? And this petty shit of a crab in a barrel is a slave mentality that is perpetuating stereotypes. And it doesn't matter who it is, if it's Kanye or if it's Empire, we are all working and we are all blah, blah, blah. He was like, leave that all lies, banana bullshit. behind you and leave your homophobia behind you and step up, because who's the real man? I've never disrespected a woman, and I will never do it. It is our responsibility to protect our women, and you are being petty. That's basically what he said. And he was like, and you know full well that everything I've written you is right, all love. And Vivica came out and called him Curtis. I was like, ooh.
I know.
She was like, and she tried. You know, Vivica's very ghetto. A lot of people don't realize that about her, because she can do some code switching. But at first she was like, stop talking shit and acting ugly, which is okay, right? That's not that deep. And she went for the low blow. She said, and hit up the gym, boo-boo, because you're looking chubby. But then somebody tried to come for her, and she showed that other side.
Mm-hmm, I bet.
And she showed that other side, and she ended that with, I got a little time today. What?
Turned on location. And you know she's about to spill when people start turning on their location and shit.
Look, I think it's hilarious. What
I remember when Erykah Badu turned on her location, Twitter be getting everybody in their feelings. Everybody.
Look, this was on Instagram, but I wouldn't be surprised if she did turn on her location. But I think it's good. Continue to call 50 out. What does he have to say? He needs, like, what is the issue? If you don't like the gay plot, then don't watch it. And then just keep the name out your mouth. How about that? Why you need to be all up in it worrying about statistics?
He basic.
You don't do math. You had got past 50 Cent.
He is so basic. He is so basic and just coming off of his bankruptcy. He need to get a life.
Ooh, ugly.
Coming off of a bankruptcy and then you want to floss. I mean, there's such this hypocrisy in with a lot of materialistic hip hoppers where they're in debt. They ain't got wealth for the next generation. But meanwhile, next, you know, they're always talking about somebody else and how they big boss. Yeah. Calm down. Calm down. But I'm just really ashamed as a New Yorker right now that this level of basicness is coming out of New York. DJ Envy of Hot 97 also endorsed Stop and Frisk.
What? Stop
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. 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 Twitter came for his neck. He was saying, this was post the debate, the presidential debate where Trump, yeah, we're not going to talk about it, but so they were talking about, because, you know, New York was a big experiment for Stop and Frisk. It was happening on a massive scale. Even if they took off two guns off the streets, that's worth a violation of human rights of millions of people. And they came for him. Nobody else was feeling that. People came with facts.
Thank you.
It was great. They tried to shut it down, but Twitter then took over from there. But yeah, you know, he really tried it.
Well, listen up, folks. Black lives matter. Full stop. In our second segment, continuing with Black Lives Matter, a very beautiful event took place this weekend. A Black president and a Black first lady opened the very first Smithsonian Museum dedicated to Black folks. The National Museum of African American History and Culture was open on Saturday, or it was dedicated and open on Saturday, with the help of Ruth Bonner, who is a 99-year-old daughter of a man born a slave in Mississippi. He escaped to his freedom. He went on to farm, graduated from medical school, and had a beautiful family. Those three people opened the museum on this weekend, and it seems to have been a beautiful ceremony. Ava DuVernay was on Instagram showing where she was represented. There were a few people on Instagram showing how they were included. I think Serena even has some stuff in there. So, like, you know, there's a wealth of things that can be found, from pop culture to history to everything in between, medical history, science, whatever, whatever. It feels like when you see things like that we're moving in the right direction. What does that museum mean when at the same time we still have several more reports of people dying at the hands of police officers just this weekend? How do we put it in context? How do we feel motivated? How do we stay the course when these major events, like the first Black president, like the bomb first lady that will never, ever be topped?
I think that the museum is a lesson on a couple of things. I think the museum is a lesson on how the Republican Party has evolved, and the EPA even were approved by Republican presidents, right? So the museum was approved by George Bush, the second president, George Bush. Oh, they call him W?
Yeah.
Okay. So it was approved by George Bush. He got hugged up.
Stay off the...
He got his hug.
He loves her. He'd be whatever. Shaking her hand and swaying with her.
I'm sure he feels a lot of emotions about her. But yeah, that wouldn't be me. Chelle's a good woman. So he got his hugs in because he approved that. This is something that our current GOP would never in a bazillion trillion years in their current incarnation approve, right? Because it's a really anti-historical moment for them. They're really not into history at all. And they're definitely not into Black history. So there's that as a lesson. Another lesson is that these big triumphs like this that are legacy triumphs, right? Because the Smithsonian is going to be there for a long, long time, hopefully. These legacy triumphs are long games. They're not something that like you and I can make a petition for. And, you know, by the time, you know, next year, we can have something like this Smithsonian Museum. It's something that is a long, long game. They have been angling to do this for many years before George W. came in, and they finally succeeded with him. And then it takes all this work to get it built. It's amazing. So, yeah, those are the two lessons I'm walking away from with it, that something that like Black Lives Matter, which is a massive political movement trying to counter widespread oppression, it's not going to happen overnight.
Absolutely not. It's just when you think about the contrast of this museum being open and then hearing about Tawan Boyd, who was a 21-year-old man who called the police asking for help and was then punched several times by the police, given a drug to calm him down. And of course, he then died from those injuries. It's hard to put it into perspective to say, okay, where are we now? Because in the museum, I'm very much looking forward to going to the museum next year when I'm in the States. It's already high on the list. I've already made arrangements with like 55 people in DC. When you go through that, you will see a history of violence. So what we're seeing today is it's not out of nowhere, right? It's just in our faces and in the public space much more in a way that it wouldn't have been even just 30 years ago. But it might be hard to find the balance between not feeling complacent by going there and thinking, oh, well, we've done so much. And, you know, look at our median income and look at all the things that we've gathered. And then at the other end of the spectrum, always being angry because we're always confronted with these horrible pictures and videos and stories of people dying in the most brutal of ways every day. So, and, you know, with President Obama leaving office soon, I'm sure many people are asking themselves, what is the takeaway?
Well, the takeaway is that if you want to continue to see political gains, you need to be politically involved. One thing that people don't understand with this current election, because it's a very not great time for a lot of voters. No, very few voters that I've spoken to feel passionate about either choice. I think is that there's an entire ticket, and the things that may make the most have the most effect on your life are actually those local elections. Absolutely. So when you show up at that voting booth, check out those local people and see what's up with that, because they're the ones that are going to be, you know, making decisions on the city council about how police deal with violence and if they release dash cam footage and so on and so forth.
Absolutely.
So
your district attorneys, your judges, your governors, all of these people are on that ticket. It's not just about the federal part of the election.
Yeah, me coming from North Carolina, it's for those of you who don't know, I did live in North Carolina for many years before I moved to Europe.
Europe.
And being in a state like that, for me at times, especially being an activist in a state like that, could feel hopeless. But what we need to really, truly understand is that those local municipalities have a lot of power, and we need to take care of them. And that's all throughout the states, and that's also in other countries. We're dealing with the same level of threat and problems here in Austria.
Absolutely. And that's why you were really trying to bring home the idea of archiving in Austria, because a lot of people don't understand the importance of it. And maybe with something like the First National Black History Museum, people will understand the importance of archiving.
Yeah, because it's easy to ignore something when no written history exists or no archived history exists of it. There's definitely a trend in Austria, but I think it exists throughout the world, for white people to feel some level of authority over the Black experience. Here in Austria, we have a situation where men are leading the conversation around feminism, where white people are leading the conversation around racism. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that they have access and they are automatically seen as authorities on said things. Right now in our Austrian university, in the University of Vienna, there's a whiteness studies professor who doesn't believe in institutionalized racism, is a colorblind person, she's a white woman mm-hmm. who won't identify as white because, you know,
that doesn't exist either.
Right. And then also, you know, 1/16th of her is maybe not, right? Okay. Like, you know, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. Because she's from Brazil. So, you know. Mm. We're all multicultural. So that's that different level of racism that they have over there where they're like, oh, no, we're all multicultural. So
right.
We have authority. We have legitimacy here.
Well, in Brazil, they have over 150 terms that they use to describe themselves. Mm-hmm. And they all are reduced back to the color of their skin. It's
exactly
the color
exactly.
of their skin.
And, so. And 10 times the amount of police deaths in Brazil. Just wrap your head around that. Brazil has the largest black population outside of Africa.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and they are oppressed on too many. So
here in London, mm-hmm. there are the Black Cultural Archives, which are positioned in Brixton. They mm-hmm. were founded in 1981. It was the UK's first Black Heritage Center, which was then opened in 2014. Right. And the people of London, and especially the people of Brixton, are very, very proud of the Black Cultural Archives. They have programs and exhibitions and events. They have a collection of things that you can request access to. They have a growing collection of original archives, which they want to use as a permanent record of the Black experience in Britain. Interesting, mm-hmm. though, is if you are in the UK and you meet any random Black person and ask, you know, where are you from? They will automatically assume that you're asking, you know, what their heritage is. I'm normally not. I'm normally meaning like, are you from Manchester or Birmingham or whatever? But they'll go on and tell you where they're from. And I have not met one person who isn't a, you know, second, third, fourth generation. And the BCA had an exhibition last year called, I don't know, something like the Blacks of the Georgian Era. And rather than answering questions, they just asked questions. The questions that I continue to ask, they presented all these different Black people who were part of the Georgian Era, most of whom had been brought back by their slave owners or their slave owners / fathers who brought them back to England for whatever reason. They had accumulated some wealth because they could. And bought land somewhere. And instead of answering, like, who are their descendants today? It would ask, well, if we had these Black people, where are they today? Yes, that's the question I would like to have answered. So I was a bit mm-hmm. disappointed in that exhibition. It seems to be a difficult question to have answered. We posted an article this week about the 20,000 plus families that can be, you know, that belong to that, as they like to call, forgotten slave owners of Britain. I didn't forget mm-hmm. about them, but, you know, Britain doesn't really talk about its slave ownership. So there are these slight steps that have been taken. Last year, there was a two-part BBC report documenting slave ownership and how the state paid out the slave owners after abolishing slavery so that they wouldn't incur financial losses for the slaves that they owned in North America and in the Caribbean. So documentation is important. People here, when they learn about Black history, they learn about U.S. American Black history. They learn about mm-hmm. the civil rights movement. They don't learn mm-hmm. about their own history here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, if anything, the first National Black History Museum in the United States should be an encouragement and motivator for other people to do the same. Do the work, know your history, so that you can do the work even better. And in our third segment, what are we excited about? What are we looking forward to? I know you're not prepared.
I'm totally prepared. What are you talking about?
Let me hear it then. What's going on?
In some hours, I will be going to an exhibition on feminism in Latin America at the main library here in Vienna.
Amazing.
And so I'm very much looking forward to that.
What exactly are they offering?
So they offer, there's some prose, there's some talks, there's a panel, as well as some works of art from women that in from the in from Latin America. I'm sorry, I can't speak anymore. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's curated by an amazing artist named Verena, who is Austrian and Bolivian. I expect great things. And then tomorrow is, two things are happening. Wow. The first Black Women's Brunch here that I'm organizing, the Sisters Brunch, inspired by the Sisters Brunch we used to have in Berlin. And then in the night, the Sounds of Blackness is having their summer closeout sort of extravaganza, big party at the Hoya. So that's happening tomorrow night. So that should be good times. I'm gonna have a good time. I'm gonna drag myself out with this cold medication, some scissor. I gotta call Lil Wayne, see if I can get any.
You need some scissor. You need to hang up.
I need some scissor. I remember the first time someone made a hot toddy for me. Mm-hmm. I straight up thought I might be in love. Like, yes. And this, I was like, is this love? What's happening right now? So I'm going to get myself presentable. I might have to do cake face.
Yeah, you might just have to. Right now.
Oh, shut up. See? Okay. See, this is why I don't come for you for upliftment. See?
I'm a leader in your corner.
I'm going to be looking eye, and I'm going to go out to the Feminism in Latin America tonight, and then tomorrow I'm going to hit up brunch, and then tomorrow night I'm going to hit up the Sounds of Blackness, so that's good.
Oh, I know it's going to be lit, though. Sounds
all of that is going to be lit. Something mm-hmm. that has happened yesterday and will happen throughout, I think there are about 3 or 4 more times that it's happening in October, is Kristen, a Black American woman that lives here in Vienna, who's an amazing person and who is an opera singer, mm-hmm. is playing the lead role at the Vienna Opera of Aida.
Mm.
Aida?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, she's playing the lead role for Aida. This is massive because Germany and Austria both have had big incidents of blackface. And when there are rules like this that are designed for Black people, whether it be Aida or Othello, classic roles, and they're big and they have funding and right. they have budgets and all that good stuff. Instead of just casting a Black actress or actor, a lot of times in Germany and Austria, they would rather take a white person and put them in blackface.
They don't say they would rather. They say they don't have any qualified people otherwise to choose from.
It's really whack. It's really racist. And all of the excuses given are straight up bullshit.
Absolutely.
So I'm really happy that there's a super talented young woman here that is doing it. We, as a group, Black people in Vienna, we tried to get tickets. Detroit was sold out. And apparently the opera is like known for that. Yes. I didn't know that people were about that opera life like
in
that.
Vienna? Yes. Are you kidding? It's known for it.
I was like, goodness, people. Apparently it's like, you know, easier to get Beyonce tickets. Yes. I didn't know.
Yes.
It really is. Like, I'm not making fun. Mos Def, Talib Kweli are coming. I got those tickets. No problem. I can't go see Aida.
Mm-mm. Nope. So, well, I'm excited after our conversation last week to follow up that Modern Family, a television show that has been running for about 8 seasons now, has cast a transgender kid for an upcoming episode. And so there we go. What we were just talking about last week, that they should have their own roles. There you go. It's happening on Modern Family. And I'm not surprised that it would be Modern Family to do it. And other than that, I'm still recovering from Afropunk. So
recovering. I'm the one who was turned up on some 8 shots. Come on, 8 double shots.
Are we putting that? Okay.
Shots of pure holy water.
Whatever you say. I am still awe-inspired by Grace Jones and the performance that she delivered. I don't think there is anyone who is more authentically creative and just does her. And 68 mm-hmm. years old, you wouldn't know it. She hula hooped through a whole song, introduced the whole band, still hula hooping. I loved every bit of it. But it is September 30th. Which means a lot of things are dropping, like Luke Cage is dropping today. So it's going to be a great weekend to stay home, keep it chill. And then tomorrow is October 1st, which means Black History Month in the UK. And as far as I know, it's LGBT Month in the States, October, right? So
October? Because all of the prides happen in June. But okay.
No, I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's like just reversed. So, you know, October 1st kicks off a large program, a wealth of things that I'm sure I'll mention from time to time on the show. So I have a lot to look forward to, but mostly I'm looking forward to my neck, my back.
Oh, okay. So
my Netflix and my snacks.
Shut up. Shut up.
All weekend long.
Shut up.
Because I still have to do the Get Down, which I haven't done yet. So it's going to be great. Luke Cage, the Get Down. My music game is going to be on point.
Yes. And now that the fall has fallen.
Indeed it has.
the Vienna Black Movie Club is in full gear. We gearing up to do a premiere showing of Queen Sugar, Atlanta. Luke Cage. What you know? It's going to be lit. That's going to be lit. That's going to be lit. I'm so excited about that.
Well, that's all for this week. If you would like to keep up with us, you can follow us on Twitter at The Queer Truth. We'd love to hear your thoughts on some of the things we've discussed today, so feel free to get at us. And if you'd like to support us, a little bit of donation, $1 is even good. You can find us on patreon.com/queertruth. Until next time, peace out.